I tell you something. One of the best things you want to learn in your life is how to hear from God. And I've had my children asking me, you know, does God speak to you? How does God speak to you? And I have to think about how to bring it to that level. God taught me. You know, never give up. Don't say, oh, when you're older, you will understand. No! Find wisdom. So it was Ryan asking me that question. I said, Ryan, you know when, for example, if your daddy tells you, you know, not to take chocolate, but you really want to have the chocolate, and your daddy is not there. So your mind wants the chocolate and your body. But you know there's another voice that tells you, Ryan, don't take chocolate. So you can see that there's more than one voice in you. And that way, you know that God can speak to you without an external voice. Because you can hear that voice within. Amen? So, that's a clue. Alright. We'll be opening the Bible from time to time. Well, let me start off with the first question to keep it neutral. How to hear from God. Are you ready for this ride? Okay, let's go for it. Everybody can participate. Okay, everybody. Starting from the kids. Are you with me? Let's go. What is the primary way by which God speaks to every believer? Now, I'm expecting two answers. Now, remember I said the primary way. That means it's common to everybody. There are other ways that God speaks to believers that are not common to everybody. But there are two that every true believer has access. The primary way that God speaks to every believer. Yes, let's start from the youngest. Who is the youngest now? Help me, is your hand up? I am Andrew first. Say that again.
The Bible.
Yes, through the written word of God. That's one of the answers. I have to go from the youngest. And?
Through people.
Through people? No. That's not primary. That's secondary.
In the Bible and
you know that people, God can speak to people, but people can also mislead you. You know that? Yeah. Yes?
The Bible and the Holy Spirit inside you.
The Bible and the Holy Spirit inside you. Please put your hands together for Andrew and Sean. I'll give that prize to Andrew and you find a way to share it, okay? Alright. Make sure you do that without fighting, okay? Now, open your Bible to Psalm 119. Everyone, please, open your Bible. If you do have a Bible, I can give you a spare Bible here. I want everybody to have a Bible. If you don't have a Bible, whether people are electronic, please take this. Yes, who is asking for one? Yes. Sean, you need to get it. This is important. Sean? No sharing. Get the Bible. Is there a spare Bible at the back? Anyone? Anyone have a spare Bible? Yeah, okay, use mine, Sean. Use mine. It's very important that you have a Bible. You don't just believe what the preacher says, yeah? Look at it in the Word. Now, who would like to read Psalm 119, verse 105? Stephen, Psalm 119, verse 105. Kevin, are you there? Where's Kevin? After he reads, you give us the memory verse, okay? Yes, go on. Psalm 119, verse 105. Go on. Go on, Stephen. You don't have it? Okay, let's have someone else. Audrey, Psalm 119, verse 105.
Your word is like a lamp for my feet and a light for my way.
Which version is that? Don't tell me it's NIV. Which version is that?
International.
Yes, don't use that version anymore. It's not giving you the true revelation of that scripture. Yes, another version. Try New Living, New King James Amplified. Yeah? I can even manage the Bible. It's okay. Read it.
Your word is like a lamp to my feet.
What is like a lamp? Is that what he said?
Your word is like a lamp to my feet.
Where is it? Okay, like a lamp again. No, it didn't say like a lamp. Now, this is very important. Sometimes, the state of your mind, you can read the Bible with the state of your mind and read the wrong thing. I'm telling you the truth, it happened. Because actually, it didn't say like a lamp. But because... Hallelujah, I'm telling you the truth. That's why sometimes before you read the Bible, pray and say, God, open my eyes. Your eyes can be open and they are closed because there's physical eye and there's spiritual eye. Amen? It's like your word is. It's not like. Hello? It's not like. The word is not like a lamp. It is a lamp. Unto where? Okay. Bonus question for 50p. Why is the word a lamp to your feet? Why your feet? Let's have adults now. Why is the word a lamp to your feet? Why must it be to your feet? Why not your eyes? Yes, adults. Why is the word a lamp to your feet? Not your eyes.
Well, the way I see it, maybe it's to give direction.
Please put your hands together for him. You know, if you want to get somewhere, what do you need? Eyes or feet? I know you need eyes too, yeah? But at least you need mobility. You know what I mean? The word is a lamp to your feet. The word gives direction to your life. Amen? I tell you, if you learn to live by the word of God, 50% of your problems are already solved. There are some things you will never see in your life just because you are following the word of God. There are some problems you will never face just because the word. There are some places you will never go just because what? Of the word. Hallelujah. There are some things that will never harass you just because you are following the word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, if you follow the word of God, yeah, and you are married, yeah, you will not need to be running helter-skelter from one married counselor to another. Yeah, sometimes you may need to see your pastor. It's part of the deal. But I mean that you will not be like people who don't know God. Because you just follow the principle of the word. What's the principle? You say, husband, what? Love your wife. I said this 2 weeks ago. I don't know why. It was a prophecy then. And he said, wives, what? What did the Bible say for the wives? Submit to your husband. Of course, it doesn't mean servitude. It means the words there are respect and adaptation. Like I always say, there must be a captain of a boat. If you have two captains, one wants to go left, one wants to go right, you will crash. Amen? Hallelujah? So your word is a lamp to my feet. There are some times that, you know, between me and my wife, where is she? You know, if you're a pastor's wife, it's a problem because if you're not careful, pastor will be preaching about you. So I try not to. So I'm not going to say anything negative. I'm just trying to say, I'll just borrow our words. You know, after night shift. You know, because I tell you something. Let me teach you one key in marriage. Study your situation. Don't generalize it with any other person's situation. You are the one living the person. Hello, are you listening? Your biggest assignment in life when you are married is your spouse. Master them. Study them. So that you can predict them. Because once you can predict them, don't expect them to be like your mother. Or your father. Because they are not. Amen? Study them. Be able to predict them. They are ready. Hallelujah. And you live peacefully. So after a while, I just find that every time this person comes back from Nigeria, we can't have a good discussion. No matter what I say, it's going to go wrong. It's okay. When she comes, I say, how are you? You're welcome. Okay, go straight to them. Hallelujah. Okay. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. And it's a what? It's a light to my, where again? Your eyes? Your brain? Your emotions? Your path. It directs your way. So the word of God is the primary way in which God leads you. Hallelujah. In fact, God himself has put his word above his name. And you know how important someone's name is? He said, you not take your name of the Lord your God in vain, but he put his word above. Now, I want to just encourage you believers. The greatest thing, the greatest achievement of Satan in the life of any believer is to make sure that they don't read their Bible. Now listen, they can listen to sermon. Don't misunderstand it. Hello? You know, sometimes we can be deceived. You go to church, you listen to sermon, you talk with Christians, then you think, oh, I'm too tired. Hello? Before you know, you will start forgetting things in the Bible. Like last week we asked, how many sons did Abraham have? Abraham. Adults, not children. How many sons did Abraham have? Now, if we take a vote, a poll, we can, more than half of the adults, they don't know the answer. It's not that they forgot, they never knew. And children do the same thing. Yeah. How many sons did Abraham have? Let's start from Muncha.
12.
Wow, that was Jacob. That was Jacob. Yes, Jacob had 12 sons. Okay? Yes. Andrew. Okay, Andrew.
2.
2, yes. Yeah, do you know, I can actually open the Bible to you and show you where the Bible says Abraham had 2 sons. I can quote it. It's in the New Testament. Yeah? In fact, I can open the Bible to you and show you where the Bible says Abraham had only 1 son. His only begotten son. You know when the Bible, when God was testing Abraham, he said, take your son, your only son, Isaac. So if you read just that part, he said, okay, Abraham had only 1 son. Yes, that's not the right answer.
If you talk about children as in like...
how many sons in total? For £1.
As many stars as in the sky.
That's a very imaginative answer. It's a good one. I like it. Yes?
4.
No, nobody has hit it. Well, I'll give you first.
5.
I think you're guessing. 2? 2. Are you sure? You know, let me teach you one secret. Sometimes, yeah, if you are feeling confused, Google. Yes? Who would like to give the final answer before Google? But she knows it. We had a discussion.
7 sons and a daughter, I think.
Oh! No? No. The answer is wrong in 2 ways. Number 1, it's not 7 sons. And 2, the Bible did not record daughter. Though he must have had daughters, but it was not recorded. So, what I'm saying, when you say a daughter, are you sure it's not 12 daughters? Yes. Find out from Google. Google. Who is the Google master?
Me.
How come you have a connection? Agnes, how many sons did Abraham have for a bonus prize?
8.
Hey, put your hands together for Agnes. Now, Agnes, did you Google?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Agnes is allowed because I said she can Google. Hello? Come on, collect your voice. Let me explain. There's a reason why I took you back to that question. Because last week I was trying to explain that Abraham waited for 25 years before he had Isaac. So Abraham gave birth to Isaac when he was 100 years old. So, if you read that story, you just think, oh, well, Abraham suffered. But finally, God heard his prayer. Yeah? And he died a happy old man. No, that's not the way God works. When you walk with God, yeah? And it takes time to get your blessing. If you are truly walking with God, he will give you enough time to enjoy the blessing. Because 25 years he waited for Isaac, but he lived. No, that's 75 years. Abraham died at 175. He had 3 times the time to enjoy the blessing. But not just that. He didn't have just only 2 sons. How many sons did he have? 8. Because when Sarah died, he took another wife. And that one gave him 6 sons. Hallelujah. You see that God is good. God can never give you a bad deal. The only time it will be bad is if you are not following instruction. Hello? You know, sometimes God wants you to lead you on a journey. You start off with him, then you stop following instruction and you go and do your own thing. Then you come back when things go wrong and say, ah, God, why didn't you answer my prayer? It's because you stop following instruction. God never gives you a bad deal. You know why God cannot give you a bad deal? Because every good and perfect gift is even all the things you are enjoying now. You know Michael Jackson? I was reading the news that there was a dance he did that he was tilted at 45 degrees. Yeah? All those capabilities, who gave him? Anything good that people are dying for, who made it? Anything good that people are dying for? You know, maybe some people like jewelry. Anybody here like jewelry? It's from the bottom of the ground. You don't even know whether they took it from near dead bones that, you know, they buried in it. Hallelujah. I don't mean you know. I'm just saying that every good and perfect gift comes from God. It's not God trying to change your life. He has enough in him to bless you over. So why can't you follow his instruction? Just simple. If you keep following, he will give you a good deal. You might have waited, but the end of the product will be better. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay, let's move on because of time. Okay, and the second way the Holy Spirit speaks, God speaks to us is through the Holy Spirit. We said it last week, because John 16:13 today, he said, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Well, let's now break that down. So my next question is this. What is the primary way? So now, let me just, before I jump, let me just explain. So if you want to hear God speak to you more, please, take time to get familiar with his voice. How? See, when you read this Bible consistently, you will know God's language. You know how God talks. So when there are many voices, you can quickly pick out the voice of God. Amen? This helps you to be familiar. So that if he now speaks to you, whether from your heart or any other place, it will be similar to what you've heard before. Amen? The devil will cheat you out of God's blessings if you're not reading the Bible. There is no excuse not to read the Bible. I know you are busy. I know. What you need to do is make out time. For me, it meant putting off my TV. I'd put it off. Because somebody's making money off you. You don't know. You know that TV you're watching. Somebody's making money. Now, I didn't say TV is bad. I'm just saying that I needed time. 30 minutes of my life every day. And just read the word of God and pray. Yeah? So I put it off. After all, it's my money. Hello, are you with me? Am I talking to somebody? Sometimes it amazes me how much people want God to work in their life, but how little they want to make a sacrifice towards it. And they blame God. It's not ever God's fault. You didn't have time for God. God wants to do much more than he's doing in your life right now. I'm sure about it. But you got to give him some time. Because God is not a Father Christmas. Please turn to your neighbor, smile at them. Smile at your neighbor. Then I say, God is not Father Christmas. Because he doesn't live in the North Pole. Hallelujah. Okay, let's move on. What is the primary way by which we say that the primary way that God speaks to every believer, this is common to every believer, is through the word and through the Holy Spirit in you. Yeah? The word gives you the foundation. The Holy Spirit gives you specific guidance. So my question is, how does the Holy Spirit lead you? How does the Holy Spirit, the primary way? Now, the Holy Spirit can lead you in many ways, but there are two primary ways, only two. There are two primary ways. This belongs to every believer. Every believer has access to this one. There are other ways that only some people, depending on their gift. But there's two that every believer has access to that the Holy Spirit can use to guide you and lead you. What are those two primary ways that the Holy Spirit leads you? The answer is in Romans chapter 8. Yes. I didn't say open there. I want the answer. Yes, children, I'm going to the adults now. What's the primary way in which the Holy Spirit leads you? Two ways. Two primary ways the Holy Spirit leads every believer. Every. Because every true believer has the Holy Spirit in them. If you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you need to get born again. And it's simple. But if you are born again, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. It doesn't matter if you are the worst Christian on earth. If you are truly born again, the Holy Spirit is still there. Hallelujah. Listen to that again. It doesn't matter what has happened. It doesn't matter whether you messed up. If you are truly born again and Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have the Holy Spirit living in you. Hallelujah. If you don't, you are not born again. So what's the primary way that the Holy Spirit leads every true believer? Two ways. Are you telling me that the Holy Spirit has not been leading you? Sean. Does the Holy Spirit lead you? How?
Through.
Just tell us what is practical with you.
When you're making decisions.
Yes.
You might want something, but you have to think about what would be like the right thing, and then the Holy Spirit can guide you on that.
Okay. Good. Okay. We are developing the answer. Yes. I need hands. Brother Fernando, are you there?
Being a witness.
Yes. Yes. That's a good answer. I will not amplify it. I know you didn't hear. Let's have another answer. Let's have another answer. I will talk about it later. Yes? What's the primary way? It's in Romans 8. Romans 8, between verse 14 and verse 17.
The scriptures.
Through the scriptures, yeah. But we've already said God guides you through the word. So, that's right. But because that's already one answer. So, you know, we have two answers in how we hear from God, the Word and the Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit can lead you to the Word. Yes, but let's assume that the Word has been settled. What are the primary ways? So, I'm looking about how He leads you. That we agree with the Scriptures. Yes? Yes, say that again.
Intuitively.
Yes, I agree. Well, let's develop that. I agree. Intuitively. I agree very well. Yes?
Personal conviction in the spirit.
Personal conviction in your spirit. Yes, yes. Those are good. They are good. They are in the right direction.
Still small voice.
Still small voice. Yes, yes. This is good. He's not giving me my mic.
Voice of your conscience.
Yes, voice of conscience. Okay. Give it to me. Give it to me. Okay. Any other person? The Holy Spirit has been leading you. I know. Sister Kemi, I know He leads you. I know your testimonies.
Positive voice.
Positive voice. Yes, yes. Let's take one more and move on. Yes?
Is it through our obedience?
Through our obedience? Yes. Okay, that's response. That's response, but that's right. Okay, let me. Okay. Faith? Yes, okay, I think now it's diverging. Alright, open your Bible, Romans chapter 8, and let's read verse 14 and 15. That we do. 14 and 15, we settle it once and for all. Yes, Sarunka? Romans chapter 8, verse 14 and 15. Let me get my prizes ready. Yes?
For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God.
All who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. We can reverse it and say, all true children of God, yeah, have to be led by the Spirit. Otherwise, they could never function as children of God. Hallelujah. I know you sang it and said, I'm a son of God. You know, I am a, what? I'm a friend of God. You know, I have, you know, the life of God in me. I can do everything God says I can do. You look at your life and say, wait a minute, am I really doing everything? Jesus said, he that believes in me, he will do these same works. And then greater works. Understand it, because some people say, okay, greater works means that we can preach the gospel. What about the same works he did? Are you doing them? He walked on water, he healed the blind, he delivered the oppressed, he cast out demons. He said, we do the same works and greater works. Amen? So if I am going to be able to function as a son of God in this life, I need to be led by what? Yesterday evening, I went to Tesco to get some few things. I was coming back. An older man, so probably will be in his late 60s or 70s. he was walking the dog around Tesco Chinam, and he just looked at me and said, "I'm smiling." I said, "Why are you smiling?" I think he just wanted to ask someone to connect to. He said, I cannot lose this opportunity. I said, it's because of inner peace. He said, I have peace inside. That's why I'm smiling. And I was not lying. You know? And then he started telling me about his dog. And then we walked. But he kept going. So I said, "You want to continue? I'll continue talking with you." And so, as we walked, at some point, maybe just caught himself and thinking, "Well, I don't really know this person. I better say bye-bye and go." So he said bye-bye and go. And I said bye-bye. As I walked to my car, it turns out that his car was behind me. I said, "Thank you, Jesus." So I walked back to him. I said, "By the way, this is my card. In case you ever need it. Seed soon." I didn't do that because I want more numbers in church. I'm doing that for the kingdom. That's seed sown. Hallelujah. When God will present, you see, if you are being led by the Spirit, yeah, doing things become easier. Because all you just need to do is follow what He's telling you. Amen? He will arrange it. In fact, before the man walked up to me, the Holy Spirit already knew his car was behind me. Hallelujah. But just imagine that you don't take advantage of that opportunity, then it's lost. So if you want to function as the Son of God, you need to be led by the Spirit. Because that thing that is oppressing you, He will just show you the key. You know, the key may be hidden under your carpet. Sometimes the key is even in your pocket or in the pocket of your neighbor. They don't know. He will show you and you just slip your hand in. They don't know. You just take the key. Hallelujah. When the Holy Spirit is leading you, He will lead you into all. He will show you things that you don't know. He will open your understanding. He will show you what is working. And He will show you what is not working. The most difficult situation in the world, He will show you how to solve it. The most difficult person in the world, He will show you how to master it. This is not smartness. Smartness is a product of your brain. You know, some people have very smart brains. This is wisdom. Wisdom comes from God. It's not smartness. Don't mistake a smart person for a wise person. You can disobey God in all smartness. You know, Saul was smart. You know, Saul, he was smart. They told him, clear everything. He kept the best. And then when Samuel said, "Well, we wanted to give it as sacrifice." That's smartness. Yeah, someone said, maybe he wanted to obey. Someone said, "King, be smart." Wisdom is just to follow what God is saying. Then you will see supernatural result. So as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? The sons of God. But how does the Holy Spirit live? Let's explain it. So when the Holy Spirit comes to live in you, He doesn't just live in your body. Now your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Yes, but there's a reason why. And He doesn't live in your mind. Your mind is where you reason. That's where the logic is. You know, men are very what? Or they like logic. Not all men. And He doesn't just live in feelings or emotions. He said women are very... please don't quote me, yeah? Yeah? In these days of feminism, yeah? Yeah? But God doesn't live in your reasoning and He doesn't live in your emotions. He can access you through your reasoning and your emotion, but the Holy Spirit doesn't live there. All those are in your mind. And your mind is in your head. Your brain is in your head. Your mind is in your brain. Are you with me? But the Holy Spirit lives in your spirit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because God is a spirit. And those who love worshiping was worshiping how? In spirit. And it lives in your spirit. So that means that when the Holy Spirit wants to lead you, primarily, how will He lead you? Through your spirit. Now, let me explain the spirit to you. The voice of your spirit is your conscience. That's your spirit, not the Holy Spirit. Your conscience is the voice of the Holy Spirit. Is the voice of the person that someone who is not born again, see, he has conscience. And depending on how much moral they learned, their conscience can be hard or soft. Yeah? Some of them may not be born again, but they were taught a lot of morals. So their conscience can be soft. Somebody can be throw hardened in their conscience. But when you are born again, God gives you a new heart. So you have opportunity to have the most tender conscience. Now listen. When the Holy Spirit wants to lead you, two things it does. Inner witness. the inner witness, because the Bible says in verse 15, the Spirit bears witness. With what? That's so it's not in your mind. Your mind may be thinking or feeling. That doesn't mean the Holy Spirit leading you. Where does it lead you? In your spirit. It will bear witness. Now, let me explain inner witness. Inner witness is a check. You know, like when you want to vote. See, just tick the box or leave it. That's inner witness. Yeah? Things may be happening. That inner witness will either tick it or no. Inner witness is a yes or a no. Yesterday, I wanted to go somewhere. I said, Sean, you know, we went to visit someone. I said, let's go and visit the other person. And then as we're going there, I just said, Sean, I'm not going. He said, why are you not going? I said, there's no witness. I do not have any tick in my spirit. The Holy Spirit did not say anything. It's just a tick or no tick. Amen? That's one way the Holy Spirit leads every believer. I'm sure if you're truly born again, you've experienced inner witness. I'm sure. If you've experienced inner witness, put up your hand. Let me see if I'm connected with anybody. Yeah. And that inner witness is also from your conscience. But it's a tick or no tick. Now, let me teach you something. When there is no tick, wait. Hello? Many times there's no tick and then you follow, you know, reason it and you miss God. Yeah? Wait. Now, I'm not saying that your reason will be always wrong, but your reason is like 50-50. Half the time it will be right, half the time it will miss it. Because the human mind, the carnal mind does not understand the things of the spirit. In fact, it cannot. So it's spirit to spirit. Say spirit to spirit. Now, the inner voice is still your conscience. But the Holy Spirit will communicate in this small voice. Say, Sister PJ, tomorrow, go and check Sister Pamela. Witness. This is not a check. You heard something inside. Amen? So that's how the Holy Spirit will lead every believer. Primarily, the other ways. But every believer has access to inner witness and inner voice. Now, Sister Yemi said intuition. That's inner. Intuition is the inner thing. That's nothing to do with your mind. So that's, is that why we needed to define it? That's the inner in your belly. Amen? Open your Bible to Proverbs 20. So I need to show you that place. I'll be hoping to finish the message in 10 minutes. And I'll give my prizes. Proverbs chapter 20. Are you there? Proverbs chapter 20. Verse 27. Yes, who is with me? Someone who has not read today. Where's the mic? Yeah, where? Proverbs chapter 20, verse 27. Yes, someone who has not read today. Who will it be? An adult? Yes, Sister Pinky.
The Lord's light penetrates the human spirit, exposing every hidden motive.
Amen. You can see, it's in your spirit. Let's have it from King James or New King James. Yes. Thank you.
The spirit of man.
Spirit of man.
Is the candle of
is
the Lord.
Is the candle of the of Lord. The Lord.
Searching all the inward parts of the belly.
Hallelujah. So, you see, any time God wants to operate in your life, he has to first start in your spirit. Hallelujah. Now, don't misunderstand. For God to access your spirit, he needs your mind. You see, the mind is the gatekeeper of the spirit. And that's why what happens in your mind matters. If your mind is messed up, it will affect your spirit. And body is the gatekeeper of the mind. So that's why what's happening physically to you will affect what you are thinking. And what you are thinking will affect what you believe. Amen? But your spirit is the candle of the Lord. And God can give you information in your spirit. There's some things you will just know supernaturally. You don't need a special spiritual gift just because you are born again. If your conscience is in the right order, you will know. But your conscience is not always in the right order. I will tell you why. Let's move on. So who will I give this prize? Who gave me the best answer? Brother Tola gave me inner witness. Yes? So I'll leave them. Okay, let me move faster. Next question. I hope you are learning something today. Alright, let's move on quickly. Before we move on. So it means that if I want to be led by the Spirit, it's important to keep a clear conscience. If your conscience is not clear, yeah, you will misunderstand the voice of the Spirit. You have to keep your heart tender. Don't let it be hard. Because if there's too much noise in your heart, you can't hear God. It's not that God is not speaking. It's that you're not hearing. So keep your conscience clear. Someone offends you, forgive them and let them go. The Bible says, vengeance is mine. One day I was having a shower. I don't know what I was thinking of. The Holy Spirit just spoke to me. He said, he brought the scripture like he said. The Holy Spirit can bring you back the scripture. And a good place is in the shower. Now, is anybody here that God speaks to you mostly or only when you're in the shower? Now, the best time you hear from God is when you're in the shower. Okay. You know what it means? It means you're too busy. So that shower forces you to wait for a while. But there are some people I know in this church that within 3 minutes, they're out of the shower. So even in the shower, they don't have time. Let's just get this business done. And there are some people who know that 20 minutes, they're still in the shower. I said, sure, no hurry up, you're going to waste all the energy and the water. Amen. So, said something, said, the boss said, vengeance is mine, I will repay. So the Holy Spirit is challenging me, I said, don't you believe that God can put things right? Why do you think you have to be the one fighting for yourself all the time? How much trust do you have in God? In due time, he will put it right. If you trust God that scripture is true, then let go some things, many things actually. Let it go. He will put it right. Because he said, I will repay. And he's not talking about after this life. In this life, he will repay. Of course, except there is repentance. So trust him. Because when you are bitter, it defiles your conscience. You can't hear. When you are not forgiving, It muddles up your conscience. You can't pick the voice of the Spirit. So keep your conscience clear. Please turn to your neighbor, tell them, say, keep your conscience clear. Repent quickly and forgive quickly. So you don't owe anybody anything. You're free. Your life is free. And then you can walk with God. Amen? Okay, we finished 5 minutes. Let me ask the next question. Okay, what are the other ways that God can speak to you? Other ways, I need 3 answers. Are there other ways that God can speak to you apart from the word of God and the inner witness and the inner voice? Any other way that God can speak to you? Yes, Elmi?
Through dreams.
Through dreams, yes. That's a good answer. Sharon?
Through your prayers.
Through prayer, through your prayer, yes. That sounds good.
Signs.
Through signs and wonders, yes. Vision. Through visions, yes. Actually, Stabija is a good person to give that answer.
Through prophecy.
Through prophecy, absolutely right. Yes, that's in my list. It stole your answer.
Men of God.
Through pastors, men of God, or even through other believers. And sometimes he can speak to you through the things happening around you. Yes, what last answer, Fernando?
Through music.
Through music, yes. God can speak to you through music. Okay? Now, how many children gave me an answer? I just give the child because there were too many answers. Let me just make a point and say that God can speak to you through prophecy, through dreams, through visions, through the advice of other believers, or through nature. But I want to tell you something. Those are secondary. The devil can fake you a vision. The devil can fake you a dream. It's not every dream that you dream that is outstanding, that is from God. The devil can give you a dream to introduce fear and lie into your life. There are some people that will come and give you prophecy. And that prophecy is absolutely not from God. And they will tell you doom and put you in fear. So it means lead us through all these other means. It must not contradict either the word of God or your conscience. You see, if God gives you a vision, it must not contradict his word or the witness in your conscience. If it does, you need to pray about it. Don't believe it first. Hello? Now, I many people like to see angels. You feel so blessed if I can just see an angel. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I like to just let me explain something to you. The fact that you saw an angel does not make you more spiritual. The devil himself is an angel. He's just a fallen angel. And he can put on white clothes. Hello? Yes, God moves in this to strengthen it. So what God does, anytime God moves like this, he's already doing something in you, and he will bring those things to confirm or amplify it. You know, maybe God is saying something to you and you are struggling, you know, to accept or to obey. Then he can give you an experience that will help you to follow. So God moves in all these ways. But remember that any experience you have must agree with the word and with what the Spirit is saying in your conscience. Are you listening to me? Even if the greatest man of God comes to you today and tells you to do something, don't go against the word of God and don't go against your conscience. Because if the consequences come, they will not bear it with you. And so long they are human, they can miss it. Amen? But when the word comes like that, like visions, dreams, prophecy, and it's agreeing with your conscience, then you know that God is trying to tell you in a shorter way that you need to move. Amen? Alright, let's move on. I just thought I should make that point. Another thing to say is that don't seek visions. Seek God. Then God will give you vision. Listen to that again. Don't seek vision. Don't say, God, please now give me, if you can just give me a dream and a vision, I'll be okay. No. Seek God. If you have a problem, talk to God about it. Ask for answer. God can choose dream. He can choose vision. He can choose your pastor. And he can choose to speak to you directly. Yeah, because the problem is that when you are desperate, Satan can come in. Yeah? He's a deceiver. Praise the Lord. Alright, let's move on. I need to round up. So I take two more questions and I round up. Okay, this is a good one. Is it okay to cast lots or put a test to God? So for example, maybe you're trying to decide who you should marry. You have three gentlemen. I mean, like, they're actually gentle. You know what I mean? And so, you're not sure. You say, God, okay, as I'm driving now, if by the time I get to the traffic light, it is green, then that's to be brother A. If it is yellow, it's brother B. And if it is red, then you put the one you don't like most. Yeah? Is that okay? Can you do that? Can you, is it okay? Because, you know, can you say, okay, God, okay, I know this thing you're telling me, but like, for example, if I want to believe you, but if someone just transfers £100 into my account overnight, which has never happened in the last 6 months, I will believe that you are the one talking. Okay, let's explore that question. I want some answers. Let's explore it. I think it's a very practical question. Is it okay to do that? And no, in the Bible, we see examples like Gideon. Gideon did that. He said, you know, he put out a dry cloth and he said, there was no rain. He said, if by tomorrow it's wet. And then the next time he said, if by the next day it's dry. So can you do that? Is it allowed? For a believer, a true believer, can you do that? And what are the problems? Or is there any problem? Yes, let's have 2-3 answers. Sister Pamela?
No, we can't do that because the word says that God himself doesn't tempt us, so we shouldn't tempt him.
Okay, so God says you shouldn't tempt him. Okay, although tempting God means that, you know, you already have something you want to do. And you're trying to manipulate God, you know, to do it the other way. But sometimes you don't even have a plan. You are neutral. I know it's not every time you're neutral, but sometimes you're neutral. And you just really want God to lead you. And you just feel that if God can do a physical thing, that would be a good confirmation that he's leading you. Yes, let's have some answers. Is that okay or what's the problem?
I don't think it's okay because God may not want to use the carnal things to speak to you at that point.
Yes. So, for example, like you're trying to travel. You know, maybe you were living in Nigeria, you're trying to travel. And you're trying to decide, should I go to United Kingdom or Canada or America? Or, I don't know, where else do you want to go to? Tell us, where do you want to travel to? Brazil.
Caribbean.
Hey, see, I got it. Now, you now say, oh, Father, I don't know which one, but I will apply to all the embassies. The first one to give me a visa. What's the problem with that approach? Yes? I think I'll round up on two questions. This last question.
I have two answers. First, what Pamela said, the Bible said that do not tempt the Lord thy God. The second one is in Hebrews when it said, the just shall live by faith.
Yes.
And
I know
and it is impossible to please God without faith. So if it shows that you do not have faith.
Yes.
And it shows that God is not pleased with that way, and that's not God's way of Him.
Very important answer there. Let me just stop there for time. Time is gone. Please open your Bible to 2 Corinthians 5:7. 2 Corinthians 5:7. That's a good answer, Brother Fernando. That will give you a prize. Mr. Pamela, you get a prize too for that answer. 2 Corinthians 5:7. Who would like to give me that? 2 Corinthians 5:7. Yeah. I like that. I like that. I like that. That's beautiful. Yes? Someone read it, but it's been quoted. Who would like to read it? Yes, for completion. Sister Frida. Yes? 2 Corinthians 5:7. Read it, please.
For we live by believing.
Live by believing.
And not by seeing.
And not by seeing. Amen? Let me tell you where the problem is when you try to do that. The devil operates in the physical realm. The devil can manipulate things. He said to Jesus, he said, if you bow down to me, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. Hello? You can pray to God that about the traffic light, and the devil can change it. Or actually, it may not even change it. It may just be that the timing of your arrival landed to red. God had nothing. Okay, so it's not every time God will check the traffic light for you. Hello? If God has better ways of speaking to you, why does he need to change the traffic light? You see what I mean? If God has to change the traffic light to green when it should be red, what happens to the cars that will clash? The devil can operate in the sense realm. So anytime you are trying to let God speak to you through sight or what you feel, what you see, is the devil's arena. He can manipulate things. Do you understand? The devil can send sickness. It's not every time you feel, don't ever, if you feel it, don't say it's from God. What do you mean? Is God distributing that from heaven? No. The devil has access. That's why you cannot depend on that. Bible says we walk by faith and not by, in fact, there will be an extra price to brought in for quoting that scripture. So remember that. Does that mean that that's not the best way to hear from God? Now listen, it happened in the Old Testament, but that time they did not have the Holy Spirit living in them. But now we have. So if you are trying to hear from God, you can't hear. I found out from my experience that anytime you're not hearing from God, God is never in the business of not wanting to talk to you. Let me tell you a few reasons why God will not speak to you. The last time he spoke to you, he didn't follow. Yeah? So why, and he knows you won't follow. So why should he say anything? I did it to my children. Once I know they will not follow, why bother my time? Until I see they have a change of attitude, then I speak. I don't want to waste my words. So you need to check your attitude. If your attitude is right, he will speak. If you're not yet speaking, that means that it's not yet critical. It means you should wait. If something is critical and you need to hear from God, he will speak. If he has not spoken, it's not yet what? Critical. Or he's speaking, you're not hearing because your attitude is wrong. Are you with me? Very important that you know that. So I'll give those prizes. And finally, last question now. And let's just stop there. Time has gone. Is final one. So let me see how much I have. Mr. Pamela, for your effort, I'll give you that. But Tim, bonus prize. And Fernando. No, this is the final question, then we finish. Are you ready for the final question? Are you ready? children, the others have one today. So let's see. I just have £1.50. Finally, you've heard from God. Whether it was through the word or through inner witness or inner voice or through vision like Sister PJ or through dreams and prophecy. How can you be sure that God has spoken to you? How can you confirm that is God? Two answers. You've heard from God. Whether from your spirit or from the Bible or from people or from dreams. But you want to double check that is God. How can you be sure? There's one overwhelming proof when God speaks. Yes, Sister PJ. Think about it. How can you be very sure that God has spoken to you? Your pastor came to you and told you something. How can you be sure that it's God?
Scriptures to see if it's
true. You search the scriptures to see if it's true. That's one of my answers. Yes, correct. Yes, but that's the lower answer. Actually, no, I cannot see the lower answer. That's not good. It's not good enough, is it? No, it's equal. There's the second answer. Yes, I'm looking for it. So, anything God tells you, any way God is leading you, must agree with the word. So someone comes to you and gives a prophecy and say, you know, right now you have to leave your husband. And because I can see, as I'm seeing it in my vision, you will never prosper under this husband. So leave and go. Check the scripture. What the Bible say? Then it will tell you that person is not speaking from God. It doesn't matter if people are falling down. Don't listen. Yes? Finally, Sir PJ, I'm coming to you.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's a kind of peace that you have.
Yes, please, put your hands together for Sir PJ. That's the word I was looking for. Okay, so Brother Yemi, I've finished. Brother Yemi, that's your pound. And Sir PJ, I'll give you another 50p, don't worry. Okay, let's stop there. Time is gone. But let me show you that from the Bible. We finish. Isaiah 32. Open to Isaiah 32. This is a very important one. I don't want you to forget. Isaiah 32, verse 17. Now let's have someone, one last person who has not read today. Isaiah chapter 32, verse 17. 32, 17. Is that what I said? 32, Isaiah 32, verse 17. Who has not read today? Brother Dele has been quiet. Isaiah 32, verse 17. Okay. We finished there. Yeah, go on.
And the work of righteousness shall be peace.
And the work of righteousness. Another version says the fruit of righteousness shall be what? Peace. Yes?
And the effect of righteousness.
The effect of righteousness.
Quietness. And assurance forever.
And assurance. Another word for assurance is confidence. Forever. Now let me just explain. Anytime you are walking in the right path, yeah? God will grant you the gift of inner peace. Now, listen. Walking in the right path does not mean everything is going well. You can be walking in the right path and there are storms. You can be walking in the right path, you know, maybe God told you to do an investment, and then initially it's not going well. Are you listening to me? That doesn't mean that God is not there. Because there's a time to sow and there's a time to reap. Many times the reason why you miss God is that you gave up halfway. Because the physical signs were not conforming. But Bible said we walk by faith and not by sight. Check your peace. The reverse is true. Even if you think you are being led by God, but your heart is troubled. Your conscience is vibrating. I don't know if you felt it. You know, this is spirit, but you can feel it in your body. Have you ever felt it? You are going to do something and your conscience is vibrating. It's like troubled waters. I tell you, pause, stall, wait. Just pause it. Even if you are sure, your head is telling you it's God, pause it. Because your conscience is troubled. Yeah? But when you have peace, your heart is calm. Yeah? And you know, peace is the foundation of joy. When you have peace, it will bubble into joy. Amen. The fruit of righteousness is what? Peace. And Jesus said, my peace I leave or I give to you. Philippians says, the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We keep and guard your heart and your mind. And that's an ultimate proof that you are hearing from God. Even when God is saying do a difficult thing, you have peace. And another thing is that when you are walking with God, you can see a future. Because he said he will give you a future and what? God might have told you to do a difficult thing. But in that difficulty, you have peace and you can see a future. God is a God of peace. God will not be talking to you and leading you and you are full of fear. I'm talking of fear of like, you know, your life is over. Peace. I didn't say happiness. I said what? Peace. There's a difference between peace and happiness. If you buy a new car, you feel happy. Whether God is leading you or not. Hello? But peace. Say peace. Inner peace. Say inner peace. You don't get inner peace by doing Tai Chi. I mean that fake peace. Amen. Only God can give you the peace that surpasses all understanding. Even in the midst of any difficult situation. Hallelujah. Let's pray. I believe that God has spoken to you. I apologize, you know, for time, but it's always the case when you have a joint service and you have questions and people are answering. Once there's a feedback, the time we go. If you are just preaching to yourself, you finish 30 minutes. I don't like to preach to myself. Let's pray. I believe, and in fact, I have the inner witness right now, that God has spoken something specific. Now, I don't mind if the whole sermon was not for you, but if God touched you in one area, have a conversation with God. One day God opened my eyes and showed me that every key I need to live and make the most of my life is in the Word and in the Spirit. If I make the connection, it will guide me into all truth. And it will show me things to come. It will unveil the secret things that are causing confusion in my life. So, your decision, if you can just make that decision to walk with God and open up your life. You know, I was talking to someone on Friday, I said, let God invade you. Because he can only leave you with peace. Let him invade you. Every aspect of your life. You know, I know you say you love Jesus, but let him take his place and begin to walk. Begin to cooperate with the Word and the Spirit. It will lead you into all truth. It will lead you in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And the fruit of righteousness is what? Peace. Thank you, Jesus. We love you forever. Thank you because you are leading us. To you be the glory. In Jesus' name. Amen.